up in Queensland, a Brisbane great who came down and played with the Dogs, and we are so fortunate that the first man added to the Hall of Fame tonight, Jason Akermanis, joins us on 11:16 SEN. First of all, Jason, congratulations. Football talent, skill, exciting the crowd, everything that makes for a Hall of Fame inductee, you've got in spades. So well done.
Oh, thanks, Finey. Yeah, it was, 16 years, a lot of years, playing 325 games. I was really lucky to be in a good team. We did come last, so it wasn't all, beers and Skittles. But I suppose from my point of view, to be inducted tonight, eligible last year, but to get in tonight with some very worthy men and footy talent. But I love playing the game. Like you guys, we're all involved in footy because we love it. Whether we get a chance to play it, the esteem level, the highest level, or we just get a chance to commentate on it, it's a wonderful game.
We're talking before, Acca, about, it's such a legacy of success, obviously, with Brisbane, but even with the Bulldogs. I mean, you had a great time at the Bulldogs.
I did.
If you could narrow it down to one single performance of yours which stands above and beyond the others, I would have thought in terms of the significance, it was either kicking the ceiling goal in 02 or the five-goal grand final in 03. What for you is your favourite individual memory?
Oh, they talk about those two a lot. I think the one where I kicked the goal that ended up winning the game, I had torn my right adductor, so that was awful. Never good to go into a grand final. A little bit sore, but then to do such a big injury and then to still play, thank God it was wet and I was able to do something because it was awful. It was so painful. We went out and played. I had to get surgery. When the bloke opened me up to fix my adductor, he said it was like he thought he hit an artery. So it was awful. The five goals in a grand final was just awesome. Great to kick a big bag. I'd had two okay grand finals, but to have a good one was awesome. Simon Black beat me the Norm Smith, but who cares? We won three in a row, very rare. But that game against in 2005 where I played against Geelong, I had 35 touches, 9 tackles, 5 goals, kicked those two in the third quarter in the pocket. It's the only time I actually got 5 votes from Lee, which was the hardest thing to ever get. And then I backed it up the next week and we played against Melbourne. I kicked 5 goals, had 26 touches, completely brained my opposition and got 5 votes. So back-to-back 5 games. 2005, won the best and fairest. So if you talk about actually one-off game, that would be it.
Yeah, what I love about that ceiling goal in the 02 grand final, and with the grand final now, you get so many different camera angles, and I'm sure you've seen them all as we all have.
Oh, yes.
But you've kicked it to the Collingwood cheer squad end, so it's gone through, and the camera sort of goes down to fence level, and there's just a whole sea of pissed off Collingwood supporters. One of them actually bangs the fence in frustration, but that was the moment. That was an incredible game, wasn't it? Because for a lot of that game, you guys would have been the hottest grand final favourite beaten since Collingwood stopped Melbourne winning their 4 in a row in 1958.
Yeah.
And you really had to rise to the occasion. As you say, you didn't have a great game that day, but you did when it counted, and Vossie did in the last 10 minutes. And that really was the earmark of what a champion side you were, wasn't it?
Well, even the 2002 season, we just dominated. It's our best season in all the four we played in the grand final. So, the grand finals. We to go into that game, we should have been. Being wet helped their bigger bodies, but their tackling percentage, and I talk about this all the time, they had 90% tackle efficiency, which is unheard of. If you can get over 80, you're doing well. Between 80 and 90 is exceptional, and they were just fantastic. Kept them in the game. Rocker's goal wasn't a goal. Chris Johnson, who you'll see, was under the post. Everyone says it was in, but you look at Jono, it goes through. Jono goes, picks up the ball. He knows because he can see where the goalpost is. So things like that. All the Collingwood supporters say, hey, this one got away. But, it's just a fantastic game. It was almost a shame to be a loser, but I'm glad we ended up getting over the line. I'm glad I kicked that goal because I got to tell you, with one leg, it was so painful. It was awful.
I actually just crossed paths, Acca, with a man who probably along with yourself would be the best kick at goal on the run that I have seen watching the game for 40 years, Peter Matera.
Mm-hmm.
But you kicked more.
I had a left foot. He wasn't so good on the left foot, Pete. Roo, as they call him.
There's very few footballers who would pick the ball up on the point where the 50-metre line meets the boundary and opposition fans basically hang their heads because they know what's coming next. That self-belief and also the leg, that depth of your kicking, it doesn't come by accident.
No.
You must have worked on it. People saw the end product and thought, well, he's just a natural footballer and it's obvious what's going to happen next. But I'm sure it comes at the end of a whole lot of work.
Oh, finally, you know, we talked about it tonight. If you heard it, basically my very first coach was the one that said, hey, mate, you need to kick both feet. I did. But I would be kicking at trees and posts, anything I could. But as I got older and stronger, I'd kick it 40, 50, 60 metres. Because who doesn't want to say, hey, listen, I just kicked it from 60. And that kind of practice was the reason that I was so good. And I'd go out on a Tuesday. I spoke about it in there where I'd go out and kick goals when no one else was on the gabba. I knew my range. I knew where I can kick them. If I got a chance, I would take it. I suppose that's probably the thing that sets you apart. I kick some great goals, even in, down here at the MCG. But that's, if you don't practice it, I mean, Michael Jordan and Michael Voss and all the greats would say, hey, you know, the extension of my practice was on the field, on the weekend. And it was not like, oh, geez, how did I do that? Your mind can't work that way. It has to have done it before.
Key forwards drive fans crazy with set shots, and we talk about it, and they get expert help from Matthew Lloyd, Rocker, you name it. They're trying to help footballers kick straight a goal. But for you, it seemed to be all instinctive. I'm not saying you didn't think.
You can't put footy into, unfortunately, the mechanical action, a bit like a golf swing. It is mechanical, but you've got to be able to know what you have to do. And it's not hard to get to a rhythm that you understand that is where your mind can't get in the way. And if your mind can't get in the way, you could just kick it. And 9 times out of 10, straight through the middle, straight. It's common sense. And if you know the mind, you know the body, you need to work with it. Unfortunately, those guys who teach them to kick talk about technique, and that is not all that is about goal kicking. Goal kicking is about what am I thinking, what am I seeing, like a golf shot, where is the ball going in the sky, how far do I want to hit it. Like, there's lots of stuff that goes on. You can easily fix the crap that gets involved.
You played in what is universally regarded as one of the great sides of all time. And the longer time goes on, I think we'll look back on those three flags in a row and think how incredible it was that it was done at all in the modern era. Do you look back on that era now and think, how did we do it? Now, we know you had a galaxy of stars, you know, Voss, Lappin, Lynch, Black.
It was
a whole team of them,
yeah,
really, wasn't
no,
there? But it's still, everything's got to go right. And we're seeing it with Hawthorn this year that, you know, you've only got to play a bad half game here or get a couple of injuries there and it can all come a cropper. And really, the third leg of that hat trick, you know, you guys were all on one leg effectively, weren't you? It was just the strength of mind of that team must have been phenomenal.
And I sent a text to Phil Jauncey, but Phil Jauncey was a behavioural psychologist who, in my opinion, made the difference. Because, you know, we knew Finey, we knew Ronald, we knew me, knew Leppard, knew Vossi, knew everyone. And, in fact, we knew the opposition. And the opposition was the key because we knew to speak to them or to get into them or not to get into them or when to get into them. And it's part of this. The psychology of footy is probably the most fascinating thing I've ever been involved in. So I studied him extensively. I used it with my group. And there's no doubt that it makes a massive difference in your consistency. And if you think it's funny, well, we're in four. And the talent between us and West Coast or whoever was not that different.
Well, just on that, I mean, it's interesting you raise that because I guess in the second half of your career, you had a habit of, it almost seemed like, deliberately inflaming your opponents. You know, you'd make quite provocative statements. And it got to the stage where I used to think you were doing it to G yourself up as much as anything because you knew they'd come after you by inflaming them. Was it that deliberate a strategy or did you just have a big mouth?
Yeah, no, a little bit. My mouth was used as a weapon, not as a, you know, why would I want to sabotage my own performance? I'm not that stupid. I'm pretty sure I was raised to say, listen, that's your target. He is not going to respond well. If you get into him, he's gonna be a snowflake. So I knew who I could. If you look in the history, you'll know that I did target certain players and I didn't target others. I wouldn't inflame certain blokes. There was blokes that I just I couldn't stand it, and I wanted to make the world, more the umpires, aware that these guys were cheating and that that's what they're doing. But the other guys, they were just not good enough. And if you put it on them, the heat, and you made them into the headline, let's see them respond. Because I could do it, no problem. Fossey could do it. Blackie could do it. These guys, they're taggers. They have to do this little role. They can't do it. You put their name in lights and watch them wilt. And they did every time. And that was part of the psychology. And thanks to Phil, you know, really. It was really thanks to Phil.
But Acker, you weren't playing basketball, and all due respect, and I know it can be a tough sport. It's a rough and tumble world out there in football. And we were speaking about KB earlier, and people know KB as the great goal kicker and the great man who never handballed bits and pieces, but they don't remember how...
Inside 80 metres, he wouldn't handball.
They don't... Inside the chalked oval, he wouldn't handball. But they don't realise how tough he was because he copped the rounds of the kitchen. And the same with you, Acker. I saw it week in, week out, and I used to marvel at the fact... How tall are you?
177.
177?
So yeah, 5'8".
You would have played at...
5'9".
80 kilos?
81 to 84. Yep.
They belted the you-know-what out of
you. Suitcases, yep. If they could, yep.
They did?
Yep.
They even if they couldn't, they take the risk. They tried.
They tried.
And people don't reckon it. People saw and heard and saw the handstands, but if they watched more carefully, they also would have seen you cop an absolute belting in your footy career.
Yeah, I copped it as much as anyone who ever played. I mean, the olden days, maybe not with the coat hangers and a few high shots, but, you know, within my era, it was as tough as it got, and I had to hold my own. You had to win your own ball. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, he just runs around and gets his own kicks because he's in this great team. You're kidding. I had to get past guys who were very good at stopping you from denying you access to the ball. And to be honest, it was a great challenge. I enjoyed it, but, you know, it was tough and hard. And in the end, I mean, that's probably what wore me down in footy because I was sick of getting tagged.
It got, and footy changed an incredible amount even between the Brisbane premierships and, say, your last year with the Bulldogs, didn't it?
Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
You had, you know, whole sides sort of filling half a field and the congestion and... Do you find football as satisfying now as it was, say, when you were playing with Brisbane, to watch as a spectacle?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think it's really tough, but it's tougher to be a forward than ever. And that's the thing. I mean, it's you try and get, like, tonight, maybe there might be a forward, let's say, like a Tony Lockett. People say he wouldn't even survive today. He would have. But, you know, Tony is one out, often one-on-one, in the mud at Moorabbin, like that just doesn't happen. And it was a pleasure for him to be able to kick that many goals. If you think about Match and Plugger, that is 13 years straight of over 100 goals. You know, that dude's a legend. He deserved to be a legend. I mean, because you just cannot do that. So, you know, you think about today's game, but the kicking and the bottom 6, 7, 8, 9 players are so good. Like when I played, you can come play Evans and Murray and they were crap. But they were the same standard. You know, you can get them from anywhere. Not now. Nah, the bottom six are just as good. So the coaching makes a big difference. If you can get it going, you'll win games. You look at the Bulldogs, but you've got to have coach your own team. If you haven't coached your own team, forget it. And they keep hiring blokes that haven't coached their own team. But anyway, we'll keep progressing and hopefully the boards will get used to these guys that haven't coached. You coach your own team? Nah, forget it. Be in the AFL system, don't care. Run your own team, run your own, it's like running your own business. You've got to do the recruiting, everything, programs, the whole lot. So hopefully the guy who takes over from Carlton, that'll be the guy who's run his own race, knows what he's doing, has done the apprenticeship, put him in.
We should put your hand up. You're having a bit of success with North Auckland.
Great success. I went and looked at, you know, Carlton's programs, Brisbane programs, Geelong programs, the whole lot. You know, I don't want to be demonstrative, but they're not that good. Like, it's stuff that's been done for 20 years. Now, the stuff we do is, certainly the psychology, physiology is miles ahead. But, you know, who in the AFL is going to say, Rowan, Acker, come on, Bull, we need you. It's going to take a guy with a great attitude and a good ego to say, we want you. And, you know, usually you've got to knock on their door, but it's about time they realise the good coaches aren't sitting underneath you. If they were good, they'd be out there coaching their own team. There's so many. You look at Alistair Clarkson. He was coaching the SANFL. He'd be in the AFL system, but big deal. But he was coaching. He was really coaching. And I think those guys, whether it's look at Beveridge, same thing. Mm. You've got to coach your own team. And I'm sick of AFL clubs hiring these blokes who just don't deserve it.
Jason Ekamanis, You are in the Football Hall of Fame. And just one last thing, that for parts of your career and towards the end of your career, people started talking about Jason Ekumenis in terms of what Acker has said. And newspapers are filled with only what's happened in the last 24 hours, and then they're fish and chip wrappers. But the Football Hall of Fame is about what Jason Ekumenis did. And
that's the main thing.
Forever and a day. It's only going to be now Hall of Famer Jason Ekumenis for what you did, because it was bloody brilliant. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, and congrats. That's the thing. You know, we only care what you do. We don't care what you say. And most people forget what you say, and it's not important.
Everybody, a lot of fun. Jason, everybody can say, I can say. Exactly. I do it every night. Big deal.
Yeah,
very few people can do. And very, very few people in this country are members of the Australian Football Hall of Fame, and you're one of them.
Nah, that's true. And I thank you, Franny. Thanks for having me. It's been a great night, and I'm glad you guys cover it, because it is a great night. You get free drink and a table of 10. You can't complain.
Well, sort of.
Well, you guys can't. You get no free drinks, and you got a table of 3.
We're our best mates.
Our panel operator, Ed, counts for 4 or 5.
Ed, we'll get... he's just giving you the finger. We'll get you a beer, Ed. Don't worry about it, mate.
Jason Ekumenis, Hall of Famer.
Thanks, Ed.
Forever and a day.
Thanks, Finey.
One of the great footballers.